Welcome to the Big Dog Crypto Podcast. This is your number one crypto podcast to hear directly from the movers and shakers, innovators and disruptors in the cryptocurrency industry. Follow on Twitter for updates and to communicate directly at Woof Big Dog. That's at Woof Big D-A-W-G. Now, here is your host, the one and only Big Dog Crypto.
And welcome to the latest episode of the Big Dog Crypto Podcast. I am your host, Big Dog Crypto, and I am very excited about this episode. This account I have followed for a while on X and has had some very, very, very cool information. Really, really like the guy. Crypt38, how are you doing?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yes, I'm very well, thank you. Obviously, apart from the market conditions I woke up to, but seems to be having a little rebound now. So yeah, just having a little
breeze. I know. I mean, of all the days, it's like we've been going up, up only, right? And now people are starting to freak out. They're going, oh my gosh, it's crashing down. You know, one of the things I look at is when you look at the market, you look at stuff going on, you've been in it for a while. New people that got in the space in the past few months that have really just, let's say at the tail end of the market, of the bear market, right? And they're seeing it going up, they're starting to freak out, right? They see it going down to 63.5, it hits, you know, where it was. What would you tell new people that are starting to freak out when they see the price of Bitcoin?
Yeah, I mean, this is it. I mean, it just always amazes me just how sort of emotional people become, and they become accustomed to sort of, you know, many, many green days. We've been going up for a sort of a couple of months now. It's been very nice to see. But I think you've got to really, really prepare yourself for these sort of days. It's inevitable that these days come. At the end of the day, this is trading. People buy and sell. You know, we reach a new all-time high and people's mentality starts to change and think, should I take some profits? And, you know, it's all, we've got a very different arena now with a lot of obviously institutional money starting to pour in. You've got the likes of Michael Saylor who's buying up Bitcoin. So for new people, it's just sort of don't become too accustomed to these green days. You know, it's nice, and people get a sense of euphoria. Obviously, you know, we can obviously make a lot of money in this game, and people sort of really hone in on the money that they're making and get, you know, sort of obsessed with looking at the charts and stuff like that. But inevitably, there will be days where we have days like today. But the most important thing for me to grasp is that, many people forget this, is that these are actually the days that you buy.
Right.
This is where you sort of, you know, get your wallet out and think, well, I like the look of this project. I'm going to buy this. You don't have to go all in. Obviously, you know, dollar cost average is a very good and proven method to sort of invest. But yeah, I mean, it's just people get so emotional, and you've got to really, really tie out that emotion. You've got to sort of put it to one side and think more strategically long term, and sort of think, you know, if I'm in good fundamentally sound projects with good utility and that are building, this is what you've got to look out for, and you shouldn't have any issues. You know, we are in a bull market. Bitcoin's just hit a new all-time high. The halving's 30 days away. We always expect some sort of a little drawback before the halving, but you know, it's very, very hard to gauge the market at the minute, I would say. Like I say, with a lot of different institutions and obviously Wall Street now entering the arena, nobody knows what's going to happen. I mean, you've got a lot of these big guys wanting to buy as much Bitcoin as they can because they see long-term some value in it, you would think, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, that would be my advice to anyone sort of new in the crypto scene.
Well, you know, when you pull up the price right now and it's, you know, 63,583, and it's up in the past year, and I just, you know, it comes up in green, plus 35,598. So you're talking, we're going from 30,000, right, a year ago to 63 now, and there's no doubt that it's gone up. We just mentioned the halving coming up. Another question we get, a lot of people always ask, halving's coming up. What should people expect based on, you know, we always say, right, past performance is not indicative of future results, but the trend is the trend. What do you think for people looking at the halving coming up that they should think about?
Yeah, so I mean, traditionally, like I say, normally we see a dip before the halving, but I mean, what's really interesting this time is we've seen a new all-time high before the halving. So that for me, obviously, is bullish when we look at the sort of the micro sort of economics as well as where the, you know, things are going within the world. Obviously, I know there's still war and stuff like that, but inflation's coming down. Things will start to ease off. We're not going to get any worse in the next couple of years than it was probably like a year ago. We've had a very tough couple of years. So Things for me are looking positive. I think after the halving, we're going to see a real parabolic run up to sort of the 100K region, and potentially beyond long term. Obviously, like I say, you know, with all this money coming in now, and I think institutions have kind of succumbed to the fact that, you know, they can't control Bitcoin. They can't control cryptocurrency. Decentralized finance is something that's here to stay. So if you can't beat them, then you join them. So, you know, that's sort of, you know, what I'm looking at longer term. And I think, you know, we might see a little bit of a dip before the halving even more. But like I said, we've two times in the past week or past couple of weeks, we've sort of, we bounced to 70K and then we came back down a little bit and everyone thought it was over. And you on the negativity on X, the next day was back at approaching a new all-time high. So you just, right. You know, this is it. You know, crypto is volatile and people need to understand that.
Well, speaking of that, let me ask, because I always like to save later to the episode, but let me ask you now, when I was looking at, like, you know, any prediction on what the all-time high is going to be, going back to 2021, just to share with you, I asked every one of my guests, and like I said, I always appreciate everybody that comes on the podcast. You're taking your time. You're giving me the most valuable thing that you have, which is your time. So I appreciate that. But everybody from CZ to like 15, 20 other people got the top wrong, including myself. Okay, I was off. So picking the top is hard for a lot of people. It's just hard to know, right? And right now with institutional funds pouring in, you got that going on as the main catalyst. Then the halving coming up. You got Saylor, who's just, you know, nom 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 every day. Do you want to take a stab at, you know, what the high would be? And it also is a kind of a second part to that question. Do you think we get the all-time high at the end of 2024, or do you think in 2025, or what would be your kind of ballpark? And once again, look, I would say with anybody, right? You take that, put it with a $5 bill, you get a cup of coffee, right? There's no guarantee. Yeah. But what are your thoughts if you had to kind of guesstimate?
I mean, yeah, I think things are just going to get really, really magical after the halving. I think we're going to go on a more of a parabolic run up to the sort of 100K region. From there, I would like to, I'm not being too much of a moon boy saying 150K or something like that. I mean, you're seeing all the sort of, you're seeing all these massive like Bloomberg and they're predicting like 150K and all that sort of stuff, but you can't really go off what they say. But I think 100K is a relative top for me. But yeah, I mean, it's like I say, I mean, the bull run could last a couple of years this time. It could be a super cycle. You know, when we're looking at the sort of economy and stuff like that, things are only going to get better from here, you would expect, unless there's going to be some sort of drastic war and things escalate in that sense. You've also got to sort of consider these sort of things that are going on in the background. And that's what I'm looking at realistically, is that, you know, it only takes one thing to happen and then, you know, things a little bit nasty like last time. But yeah, I mean, it's not, we're not, if we look at it, we're not in any sort of position that it was over the last 2 years. These last 2 years have been very, very tough, not just for crypto, but for people overall with inflation. So I can only see things getting better from this point. And obviously we've since started to get better over the last sort of couple of months coming into 2024. So yeah, 100K is what my estimate will be. That like I said, it's just an absolute estimate.
Right. Well, because nobody knows. Like I said, nobody has a crystal ball. We're all kind of in this kind of guessing, looking at the markets as we go forward. Let me ask you this though. So you've been in the space. When did you first, like, do you remember where you were the first time you heard about Bitcoin, what you were doing? Do you remember when you heard it, like the first year, the first month? Do you remember when?
Yeah, I mean, I heard of crypto since, you know, Bitcoin when it was first established, but I was a young kid. I'd just left school and obviously didn't really look too much into it. I was too busy getting drunk and chasing women. I just never really, you know, got into it at that point. And obviously there was people who were obviously massively skeptical of it, and some people took interest, and fair play to those who sort of were there early and, you know, they're reaping the rewards long term. So yeah, I mean, I got into Bitcoin cryptocurrency in general in about 2019. So I've not been, you know, I'm not really a veteran in the space. However, I've worked in
still
banking.
5 years though.
yeah. It feels like 50 years. But I came from a financial background. So yeah, I sort of studied stocks and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And I used to work in banking. So, yeah. So I started off bit of obviously a novice, but I'm the sort of guy who sort of went, once he sort of you know, learns about something, I sort of take it in really fast, and I've sort of really propelled myself over the last few years in sort of understanding it all and obviously getting to where I am now.
So you have a background in finance, because I kind of had a feeling. So you have a background in finance and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. And that, you know, it's interesting for traditional markets. I mean, I, you know, talk to the, you know, guys and girls that are working, you know, Wall Street, whatnot. And it's over the past few years. And, you know, crypto went from this fringe sort of, you know, strange thing in the thigh to now it's like, it's the elephant in the room and it's mainstream. And it's like, you know, you watch all the, you know, BlackRock, Fidelity offering all the ETFs. And it's just, it's absolutely become, you know, a legitimate, right, asset class. It's you know, taking on gold and many other things. You know, but one of the things too is that, you know, you got people that are, and I've had people on the show that are Bitcoin maximalists, and then ones that, you know, don't like altcoins and this and that. You know, in this space, we've got tons and tons of altcoins. There are always people researching. What do you tell people that are new? Because look, I got in the space, you know, in 2017, and when I first came, I'll share with you, I had some of the worst. When I say worst training, like I would watch YouTube videos and I would read stuff, and I found like sometimes it was just not some of the best advice, right? And as you go forward, you kind of learn, hey, you know, I like this, I don't like this, you know, see who's got good stuff. Not just about calls, right? But just see who like has this good advice on stuff. And, you know, you can't tell the future. You don't know what's going to happen. You can't, you know, control what other people, what other teams do, whatever. But for people that are in the space that are new, that say, look, Crypt38, I want to know what is the best way to research this particular altcoin, this project. Give me two or three suggestions or ideas of what I should look for and how I should go about it. Because a lot of people, they don't know, right? What would you share with them on that?
Yeah. So when I'm looking for projects to invest in, obviously, golden rule number one is obviously we need to make sure that they're safe. Liquidity is locked and it's renounced. It doesn't necessarily have to be renounced, but just looking for the telltale signs that a sort of a project is legitimate. Obviously, we don't want to lose our funds. So, and obviously, you know, things like docs, devs, KYC, and then sort of going more into detail, you know, looking at the user case of the project. Does it have any value? Does it bring anything to crypto in general, or maybe the outside world? And just sort of, you know, looking at the fundamentals of the project, really. So just, you know, what it brings. So that mainly is sort of what I look at. I mean, you're looking at sort of bigger alts that have been around a long time, and they do move, they do fluctuate, and you can make money on them. But I think a lot of people are sort of looking at, when you're first into crypto, they want to sort of get, you know, some substantial sort of money to sort of play around with. But yeah, I mean, you've obviously got to just make sure that ultimately that it's safe. And obviously, if you can see that the project is working, and the you know, the socials are always up to date, and there's people speaking about it. Because you can have the best product in the world, but if nobody's talking about it, it doesn't really make sense in my eyes.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, a lot of crypto is built around hype. That's a well-known thing. And, you know,
that's something I can tell you right now. I always say that all the time. I say you could have the cure for every disease coin, right? If no one knows about it, it doesn't matter. I mean, the fact is, there is marketing involved. I think if I could say real quick, one of the challenges or problems I think that people don't realize sometimes is that, you know, a project is a project, right? And when they launch and then they work, right? Some are good, some are bad, some try, some don't. But you can't control what a project does. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, you could say, you know, this project, I think anybody, right? This project looks good. But at the end of the day, you know, the team does what they do. And there's so many other factors that go into it too. And the space is constantly changing. So I think a lot of people maybe don't realize. Honestly, like, you know, how much is going on in the space and how much, you know, is happening. And it's just, it's a matter of, things are so fluid, right? Like you said, you have to pay attention to everything going on. I would say like Telegram too, right? Make sure the Telegram is always, is active, up to date, you know, that they're talking, that they're, you know, being respectful, there's stuff going on. But I think in general, a lot of times it's fair to say green candles good, right? Red candles bad. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I don't care what it is, right? It's like, if it's green, it's good. If it's bad, oh, it's just horrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
and I sort of look for proven projects as well. I've been around a long time, obviously. You know, built through the bear market, continue to build, and then they're still around doing stuff. So, you know, if the team is willing and obviously trying and building, that's always a good sign. I think, obviously, the thing to look out for now with institutional money coming into the arena is, if you're looking at projects that have some sort of, user case or real world user case, and everybody's going to sort of start adopting blockchain, then, you know, in the future, you know, longer term, these are the sort of projects that money will pour into. I think as time goes by, crypto will become more regulated. That's a given. So you're probably going to see less regulated, or, you know, coins that are sort of not legitimate sort of fade out. And obviously things will get more serious and professional. So, you know, longer term, you want to be looking at projects that have some value to give. I mean, we all like to chase a thousand times meme coin, but, yeah, you know, for me, it's like going into the casino in Las Vegas.
No doubt. But you just brought up something interesting. Let me ask you, because one of the things on this program is I don't ever promote any alt one way or the other. Somebody brings it up, that's cool, but like I don't say, oh, this or that. I mean, this is more about crypto and the markets in general. But this is kind of a question about a couple of alts in general, but this is a thought. You just talked about, you know, with institutional money. One of the things, of course, obviously we've seen with the institutions going in heavy on Bitcoin, the Ethereum ETF, right? We're hoping for that. I'm sure it'll happen at some point. But when you have alts and you take something in the top 10 or the top 15, a lot of the people in those are hoping that at some point institutions will go into those. So without even, you know, naming certain names, but do you think that at some point, like let's just kind of crystal ball 5 years in the future, of course, you know, who knows which ones will be here, which ones won't. Do you think from institutional activity and how they look at stuff, as you've seen, that once, you know, they have the Bitcoin they want, or at least they're getting it, right? And they have Ethereum or whatever. Do you think they start going into the top 10, 15 alts and acquiring those two? Is that something that could happen?
Yeah, I mean, why not? If they've got something to give and value, then, you know, why not? I mean, we've seen it with, nobody ever thought that Wall Street would start investing in Bitcoin, and it was, you know, absolutely against it. So I think, yeah, there's a reason they've done it. And obviously, I think when we look into the future, do we really see it just being sort of traditional sort of financial markets? It's obviously crypto is starting to get adopted now. So is blockchain, which is obviously a very useful tool in general. And you know, personally, I think there will come a point, and I think we'll see some of the top 10 obviously massively change as well. You'll see projects come up that will take over in time. You know, we've seen some sort of hover around, but I think eventually some will fade off. And we'll see more sort of, you know, useful projects, or should I say, coming to the...
I mean, you've got all the people at XRP that are hoping that they jump. I used to joke about XRP and knock it. I stopped doing that because, like, you don't want to upset the XRP army. You know what I mean? But it's like, they're hoping for it. The friend the other day, I know institutions will come and get it. I'm like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But it just takes you down. You know what I mean?
I still think XRP will all of a sudden, just one day, just something will blow up. Obviously, they've got rid of the FUD, which was the SEC.
I hope so, the people make since 2018 at $3. You know what I mean? Like, if you've been holding it that long, I hope you make your money back. I really do.
We'll see.
Yeah. But no, it's just wild to watch as this you know, as this industry changes and whatnot. Let me ask you this. So we're coming in. I mean, we're at in middle of March right now, 2024. What goals would you like to see the industry, when you look and you say in the next, let's say, 18 to 24 months, what would be maybe one or two things that you'd like to see that maybe you're not seeing now, maybe you're starting to see now, you'd like to see come to, you know, completely happen? Is there one or two things that you'd like to see?
For me in general, it's something that I'm a big sort of advocate for. It's just more sort of, how do I put it? More projects sort of start to shine that have a good value to bring. We're seeing so many projects pop up day in, day out, and people just don't know where to put the money, and they're moving from one to the next. I just want to see people start to really sort of invest in projects that, you know, have something to give for the future of crypto and real world as well. So, you know, like I say, it's nice when we're sort of going into plays, but a lot of them, you know, they just don't have the endurance. They'll not be here at the end of the bull run. Yeah, for me, just sort of, and that's what I'm sort of built about around my brand, is sort of trying to bring legitimate projects to the forefront and sort of, you know, I can't always get it right. You know, it's crypto, so I can't, like you say, I don't know some of these people, and you can't understand everyone's intentions. But, you know, that's a big thing for me. I just want to sort of really sort of bring and highlight good projects to people to invest.
You know what? And I want to say, look, man, I followed your stuff, and you're kind of selective in who you don't really talk about a lot of projects. There's a few you do, but just you and anybody else that I respect and I watch. I mean, one of the things that I always share this with the audience is you can never guarantee what any team. Like I said before, right? You know, teams work, things happen. I've worked with so many projects, I've advised projects, and I love doing it. But there's no doubt there's so much stuff that goes on, you know, good, bad, and in between, behind the scenes. Some things out of your control, right? Some things that you can control, and you know, you could say, hey, look, I like, you know, XYZ project. And, you know, unless you're on the team, right, you don't really, like, you can't control that. But it's anything. If you have 20,000 or a million, I don't even know how many, because it's crazy. A coin market cap, when you used to look at it, it said like 20,000 alt. Now it says like 2 million or whatever. I don't know how many we have. I know there's a lot. You know, that's part of things like, why isn't something getting on Gecko or CMC right away? Because I don't think people realize this. They get, you know, all these launches. You got, what, 50 launches a day, and they're all submitting them with applications. So, you know, it used to be back in the day, Gecko and CMC, you got in a few hours. Now it's like they're getting 20 applications in a few hours. So, you know, but it's another thing how the space has changed so much. I like what you've done. I can respect that. But like I said, if anything in this space, and you said this before, I've said this, do your own research, never put in more than you could afford to lose. Take initials, right? There are no guarantees. And I think that that's one of the things I would share with the audience is just, you know, you're anytime you're going to go into altcoins, right? Or even in crypto in general, you know, it is a volatile market, right? I always say, if you're going to buy something and you go to bed at night, and if the idea of it going 100x or going to zero keeps you up at night, don't go into it, right? I mean, don't you can't, because it's too much stress.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you wake up on days like today and you're seeing your portfolio swing some crazy amounts. It's you know, this can be a real emotional roller coaster, and it can be stressful. So yeah, I mean, like you said, don't, you know, my advice when only just don't put yourself in that situation. It's not nice. I've been there myself, and you know, when I was first got into crypto, I made a lot of money and then I lost it. And you've got to really, really control your emotions. Greed and sort of stuff like that, it can really get a grip of you. And money is a big motivator for many people. I mean, ultimately, that's why a lot of people are in crypto. They want to make money. They want to change their life. Obviously, we all love them. We love the community aspect of it. But, you know, money can make people do crazy things and stuff like that. So, yeah, just be careful in that aspect of it. I think, obviously, we're going to see a lot of retail come in with more eyes on Bitcoin now. And it's important that they understand the risks, and you know, I'll try my best to sort of always remind people of that, and obviously to stay away from scams and stuff like that, and not connect wallets and stuff like that, because we're going to see a lot of it. I mean, we are seeing
a few weeks. I mean, you can remind people, but one thing about the space, and I say this with all respect, and this is not, and I've tweeted about or X'd about it, whatever we call it now, for years. I mean, the fact is, you know, you never know what a project's going to do. You never know what the market's going to do, right? If you don't take profit, you know, somebody else will. I mean, it's just, it's there's never a guarantee. And the thing is, it is a 24/7 thing. You know, you can't buy an altcoin or even really Bitcoin, right? Oh, let me back up. If you're long term, you can buy Bitcoin, just, you know, go away. I'm saying, but if you're in the altcoin markets, you can't sit there and do it and then just tune up for them. You know what I mean? And then come back and, like I said, might have gone 100x, might go zero. You don't know. You know what I'm saying? So,
it's true. It is. It's just, I don't like to say gamble, because some of the projects not really gamble. It is a volatile market. It's risk. It's based on speculation. So
I mean, if you want to be really blunt, and you hate to say this, but I mean, even buying the top 10 or top 15 alts, there's no guarantee they're going to be there tomorrow. They should be. You know what I'm saying? But it is a bit of a roll of the dice. So that's all. But all you can do is calculate a research, do your own research, and then you know, hopefully things work out. Well, look, a couple of final questions. I know you're super busy. I appreciate you taking the time, and I mean that. Couple of things. If you got a plane coming to pick you up, taking you for the weekend somewhere, what country are you going to for the weekend? If you can go anywhere in the world.
Oh, probably right now I go back to the Maldives and just chill out.
Nice. I need some, never been, but it looks beautiful.
Yeah. But yeah, probably just go there with the family and relax.
Okay. Nice. And then look, I know you work nonstop. You're always on, but you got to have a little downtime. What do you do? What are the hobbies when Crypt38 has some downtime? What do you like to do?
So I play football in my spare time, and I just like to walk the dog, really, and just get out hiking in the mountains. That's probably something that I like to do. Just get a bit of a fresh air and away from screens.
I can respect that. Love that with the dog. Okay, and to find you, if people want to connect with you, what is the best place to find you on X? What's the best way to connect?
Yeah, so I don't know if my axe is on here, but let me just try and find it for anyone.
Yeah, and I'm gonna have it. I'm also gonna have it on the screen, so be able to see it.
Yeah, so if you just want to, I'm most active on X. I do have a private Telegram as well, is currently accepting no members. But
so Crypt38, so you can go right from Crypt38 at Crypt38 to your lounge, which is I gotta say, I've been in. It's pretty good. It's definitely probably one of the best ones that I've been in. And I mean, I'm just saying that just because it's just really like no BS, people talking, just you know. It's been
The biggest thing for me is just being as open and transparent with people as I can. Obviously, I want to be seen as a respected guy. I don't want to be seen as someone who's just lead his followers down a path and take money. Yeah. And like I say, sometimes I'll get it right, sometimes I'll get it wrong. I'm without blowing my trumpet, I'm I get it right most of the time. But there's been some sort of occasion where I haven't. But you know, I'm a community know that, and that's the biggest thing for me is just sort of being as transparent, as honest as I can. That's what I'm built on.
You've been very transparent. I've said before, like, nobody in the space is perfect. That you've got everybody. Look, if you find one person on it, I don't care who it is, who has 100% perfect calls, it doesn't exist, right? I mean, it just is what it is. But certain things are always outside of our, like I said, it's we don't control teams what they do. So it's kind of like, hey, look, I can only go off the best knowledge that I have at the time, right? When I kind of make this call or make this suggestion. But you all, the caveat, and you say this clearly, do your own research, right? And you'll say, this is what I'm thinking, but, you know, do your own thing. And I that's all you could do. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's as transparent as you can be.
Yeah, definitely. It just purely go down to that. Always do your own research. Never take any financial advice from anyone in this game.
Exactly. Well, man, I appreciate you taking the time. Like I said, I know you're super busy. Crypt38, thank you so much for coming on the latest episode of the Big Dog Crypto Podcast, brother. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it. You're a great guy. And I'll be tuning into many more of these. So thank you.
Thanks. I appreciate it, brother.
You've been listening to the Big Dog Crypto Podcast. Follow on Twitter at Woof Big Dog. Woof Big DAWG. And run faster than the competition. Woof, woof.